Welcome to Highly Questionable Old School Style. It's me, Bomani, with sprinkles of Poppy in and out of here. Let's get started.
Who had the best performance last night? Clayton Kershaw, Mookie Betts, or Cody Bellinger?
All right, so Mookie Betts, in the age of all or nothing, we're hitting home runs, creates a small ball run out of nowhere with just excellent baseball, playing against the Tampa team, Bomani, that is by consensus the smartest built team in the sport and the team that plays baseball smartest. You just can't do anything about that kind of talent. I want to celebrate Bellinger as well because that's amazing that he keeps hitting home runs and keeps making great outfield plays. But the guy I want to talk about, obviously, is the very human story of Clayton Kershaw, who has this incredibly expensive team built around him, Bomani, and yet he's the underdog here because his story is so human, so fragile, because he got busted up by the cheating Astros in a way that did damage to his reputation, and here he is pitching well, the kind of game, Bomani, despite his reputation, he's had that game 10 times in the postseason. The problems come after the sixth inning for him.
Yeah, I don't really know how he's the underdog when I don't even know who the hell the pitcher was for the other team in this case. Now, shout out to Cody Bellinger. He played very well. But Dan talked about how the Rays are the smartest team in baseball. Ain't no fun in smart sports. Like, it can be, but there's nothing intrinsically fun about that. You know what is intrinsically fun to watch in baseball? Dudes doing daring things on the bases, right? As much as the smart guys have told us that it's not the best allocation of the runs, you got to be taking those chances. There is nothing more entertaining on a baseball field than watching people take extra bases or watching people take their lead and scare the pitcher to death or seeing how Mookie Betts scored that run coming from third on a dangerous play. That kind of stuff is what makes baseball fun. Quiet as it's kept, as much as everybody loves the home runs, small ball is really where it's at in terms of excitement when it comes to baseball. Most exciting playing baseball is what? The triple, because somebody is running. So I don't care how smart any of this stuff is. I don't care how good any of the players are. I am glad that we got to do it out here like Mookie Betts because they're harder to find and baseball was better when it was more of them.
And he won everyone in America tacos that they could get at Taco Bell, October 28th. My father also loves him some tacos. He's been very critical of Kershaw over the years. What'd my father have to say about this performance?
Hey, Clayton, I know this show has always given you a hard time, but I have something that I really need to say to you. I always believe in you. Dan and Bomani were the ones calling you a choker. They made me pretend to choke all those times. Dan told me if I didn't call you a choker, he'll put me in a home. I always believe in you, Clayton. 2020 true. World Series MVP.
I've been saying all the stuff Dan was saying, man. You just got to take him out the game a little bit earlier. That's all.
How big of a deal is it that anonymous Cowboys are already ripping Mike McCarthy?
All right, Jane Slater of the NFL Network sent a tweet saying that she had talked to some players and they weren't too enthusiastic about the coaching staff, said they felt the team was poorly prepared and that the staff did not make changes on the fly. That forced Mike McCarthy to have to answer questions about it in press availability.
I haven't been part of any of those type of discussions. I think like a lot of things, when you hit a part of your season or any challenge where there is negativity out there and where it comes from and who it comes from. I mean, that's something that, you know, I've never chased, but I think you do have to recognize it. I think it's important to handle things as men. I mean, if you do have something to say publicly that is of, you know, of most importance, I think it's important to say it to the individual, particularly in a group dynamic setting, and especially in a game of football, especially for the Dallas Cowboys.
Now, McCarthy is right, right? The anonymous leaks, they're good for my business. They're not so much good for his business, and I'd be mad if I were him under those same circumstances. The only thing is, it sounds like this team checked out on him early. Like, it doesn't sound like the checkout took place here. Once your team does not believe that you put them in positions to get things done and you overhaul the staff of that defense, everything else looks just about the same except for the fact that now they stink when before they just weren't that bad. Yeah, man, good luck with this one.
Well, there are a number of things here that are interesting. I have a hard time just getting past the fact that he looks more and more with every coaching year like an Elvis impersonator out of costume. So that's not helping him. Winning only one championship with, by consensus, one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen at the position when juxtaposed against Tom Brady, who doesn't have the physical gifts that Aaron Rodgers does, is a further indictment of McCarthy. And then there's this, Bo, and I'm really surprised this hasn't gotten more attention. He basically bluffed his way through the interview saying he was an analytics guy over the offseason. No one's seen any evidence of that. The player personnel on that team, we keep getting told, is really talented. But does it look to you like a well-coached, disciplined team turning the ball all over the place when he's saying before a 38-10 loss, Bomani, where they fumbled all over the place, this is the most prepared we've been this season. I felt like we went into that game more prepared than we've ever been. All of that feels like clown show, even though they're still right at the top in the mix in that division.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing they need to consider over there, too, is if you got C-ball, get-ball players, you got to run a C-ball, get-ball defense. You are not going to turn C-ball, get-ball players into something different than what they already are. And they look like a defense that does a whole lot of thinking. Can't everybody think and play football at the same time? Like, I can think, but I can't play football while I do it.
Bomani, one of the things that frustrates me about that sport because it has a salary cap is I want to see a bidding war between Daniel Snyder and Jerry Jones for Dak Prescott. But when you're in the position that the Cowboys are in, where they've got that salary cap situation and Dak Prescott could have held out, Bomani, if he had not done the team-friendly thing. Not only does he not get hurt, if he had held out, imagine if the season started the way that game looked with Andy Dalton and Dak Prescott had held out instead of doing things the way that he did them.
Man, he might have looked at that defense and decided, I'd rather just not play this year, right? Like no hits, I'll do it for free. That's fine.
Should Trevor Lawrence refuse to play for the Jets?
All right, so this is an idea from a Sports Illustrated story, and Roddy White has thrown it out there as well. And Bomani, you actually did a lot of reporting around college football, and Trevor Lawrence, I wanted him to be more of a leader than he actually was, even though he was leading with the power that he actually had in college football. I wanted him to be asking for money the way that Pac-12 was in terms of leadership. Is Trevor Lawrence in a position where he could actually exert real power over where he goes because he doesn't want to go to the Jets and he can do an Eli Manning thing? He could use the power. He just doesn't strike me as the type that's inclined to do so.
Well, the question is going to be about the people around him and whether they are the types to do so, because Eli Manning had the backup of his daddy when he did this, and he got a lot of hell for the fact that he did it, but people understood, if they had any understanding of Archie Manning's career with New Orleans, why it is that he did not want his baby boy to go through the same thing that he went through, because at least Archie was fast. Eli wouldn't have been able to run away from everything. The irony of the situation, though, when you look back at what happened in San Diego, all they needed was a quarterback. Like, Drew Brees turned the corner after this situation happened with them and Eli Manning, and they drafted Phillip Rivers. But right at that moment, everything turned good. Like, if Eli was as good as we thought he was, he would have been the guy that could have done that. Instead, he went to the Giants, and it turned around, but it wasn't looking so great at the time. There's nothing to be optimistic about when you talk about going to the Jets. The Jets have never been good. There's no reason to think the Jets would be good. And what they're known for, more so than not being good, is always being a clown show of some variety. So if Trevor Lawrence doesn't want to go there, the power's right there. All you have to say is, I'm not going to go there. That's it. And for the Jets in this draft, there are other quarterbacks. You could make the deal with somebody else and get back, still get a quarterback, and probably still wind up bringing in a haul. So for Lawrence, he's got the power to do it. I don't know if he's built for it, but if his agent is built for it, he ain't going to be going to no Jets.
Quarterback evaluation can be a tricky thing. We get this one wrong all the time around here, but you don't need to hear from me or Bomani Jones on what quarterback should do. Let's bring in a real quarterback expert to give us his expertise.
Can I ask you guys a question? Who gives a about Trevor Lawrence? It is showtime, baby.
Oh, wow. Okay. See, I see what he did there. He's right about that, though. It is Tua time. Bomani, what are we doing with Trevor Lawrence when we should be talking about Tua?
Honestly, when Trevor Lawrence hears Tua's name, he should be thinking about whether he's got the power to not play for Clemson no more. You know what That's I mean? True. Your hip could pop out of joint the same way.
Coming up next on my son's TV show.
I insist. I don't know how to tell you. You have to stop here on the elbow and shoot the ball. Shoot it. When you miss 10, I take you out. Shoot the ball.
I mean, yeah, that's good coaching right there. It's not to be liked. He wants his guys to shoot. Spread the floor. Even if you miss, have confidence.
Hey, man, we got to talk to another coach about the strategy that he used coaching one Daniel Lebatol.
No.
Hey, Coach Dan, I never did that. I always told him, don't shoot the ball.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if this is good coaching?
All right, so we've got basketball in Spain. I don't know what the age group is here. Is this professional basketball? We got a coach on the sideline, I guess, lighting into his team.
I insist. I don't know how to tell you. You have to stop here on the elbow and shoot the ball. Shoot it. When you miss 10, I take you out. Shoot the ball.
I mean, yeah, that's good coaching right there. It's not to be liked. He wants his guys to shoot. Spread the floor. Even if you miss, have confidence.
One thing to note about this, too, that's a tall coach. You don't really get a whole lot of coaches that are, like, really that tall. They get the chance that's to, like, true. Speak in that way because you kind of need to be able to physically intimidate whoever it is that you're talking about. And I want to see some of the shots that he passed up to make that coach so mad that he wasn't shooting the ball.
Hold on a minute. That's such a good point by Bomani. Let me see that video again. That guy was inordinately tall. Like, that guy is. Or is it that the coach, the other coaches are small as part of it?
No, look at the players. He up there with them. Yeah. Like, what if that dude is the Paul Silas of Spain?
Yes.
Hey, man, we got to talk to another coach about the strategies that he used coaching one Daniel Lebatol.
No, no.
Hey, Coach Dan, I never did that. I always told him, don't shoot the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. You like to giggle about it. He also told me to take that headband off. I looked ridiculous.
As funny as it is to think about him coaching you, it's way funnier thinking about him coaching somebody else's kids who doesn't actually know him.
Do you question if these guys are impressive athletes?
All right, so the producers just gave me this as prep for this question. Parts unknown and a game or a sport we think kind of. I'm flying blind here. What is this? Is that a ball? They're just hitting each other in the face with...
Well, they're blocking it?
One ball,
that's some incredible reflexes.
Okay, so wait a minute. They're blocking it, but it's... Oh, yeah, they're just catching it again and again? But it's not a game or a sport. It's more of a dance with lights, isn't it? More of a ballet dance in the streets with lights. Not really a game or a sport.
How bored are they?
Okay, are they impressive athletes? Let's respect the question here as they just throw it up there again. They're just at close range throwing a ball at each other and catching it.
Yeah, I don't know if they're impressive athletes, but I do feel like they're impressive martial artists in the sense that a fight hadn't broken out here. Like, I think it takes a remarkable level of discipline, no matter what anybody can send it to in the first place. First time somebody actually get hit in the face with a ball, man, I feel like scrap it out is what's going to happen next.
That game does beg the question, guys. Who's the number one athlete you'd want to see play that game? For me, Josh Allen.
You better have a net around there. You have a net and some gauze because it's either going to be somebody's going to get a broken nose or that ball's going to go five blocks down the street.
Do you question if this guy was given fair warning by this cow?
Ah, now we're in the good part of the show right here. Bomani's eyebrows, you see them? They raised right there. What's happening here with this cow? Yeah, he bumps
right,
it first.
Bump.
Yeah, that's the warning. Uh-oh. That's fair warning. Oh, uh-oh. Is he going to just dump him in there? Oh, ouch. Ouch. That hurts for a lot of different reasons, but that cow got its food. That cow wins. Look at how happy that cow's tail is. That cow wins because he gave that dude a concussion, but now there's food all over the floor.
And clearly the dude was in the wrong here because while everybody's going to, like, tend to him, nobody seems to feel like the cow did anything wrong, right? Everybody just seems to be like, yo, when the East is in the house, right? Like, you know what time it is. Get to the side.
The cow did anything wrong? The cow did everything right in that. Gave a warning, fired a warning shot, did a wonderfully strong feat of strength, and then ate liberally.
By the way, is it good or bad that there happened to be a hole in the ground right where the dude happened to get bucked up?
Did that make things better or worse? I think that guy's got a real problem with his face today, but we're too busy doing the cow video, eating food, laughing thing to, you know, check in on his well-being.
All right, what's Poppy got on this? We got anything?
No, Poppy doesn't have
you
something
know who
on
wasn't
this.
Giving a fair warning, this motorcycle.
What are we doing here?
Oh, remember this?
Well, how could I forget this? What do you mean, do I remember this? That was not fair warning, yes. That is such a cheap video. That's cheap television we just made.
I mean, that car you drive, you didn't pay for it with the fine arts.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Poppy, how about you? We keep doing this cheap television device of going to you as if you're here.
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. Listen, when Dan playing the Little League, I have this story to tell. It was bases loaded for all the marbles, you know, the division title. And then all of a sudden, the batter is in one ball, two strikes as he count. And all of a sudden, he swung and hit the ball. That was a pop fly to third base. Who is in third base? My son, Dan, is on third base.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. On streaming platforms, Titus and Tate.
Bomani, have you heard this? Duncan Robinson, the Lakers bench was chirping at him in the bubble. He goes on Titus and Tate here, and what happens? What does he say the Lakers were saying to him?
So the first one, why does Duncan Robinson look like Sheen from Jimmy Neutron? This was the big one. We have to start with this one. This is the one I saw the most.
I'm okay with it. This is my only problem with that, is that I get Jimmy Neutron as well.
That was the next one.
Right. I can't be both. Yeah. Like, that doesn't even make sense. How can I be two characters from the same show? During the finals, the Lakers bench was yelling Jimmy Neutron at me. So I don't understand how I can be Sheen and also Jimmy Neutron.
I think you want to be Jimmy Neutron out of those.
Which one would
choices,
you rather be? Yeah. You'd rather be Jimmy, right?
Yeah.
Probably Jimmy, yeah.
He's got a cartoon face. He's also got a cartoon face that a lot of people want to punch as well. Bomani, are you intrigued?
Hey, man, that was a real time machine stuff right there. So we got the dude Titus, who was the walk-on at Ohio State. We got Tate Frazier, who's cool with our guy Charlie Hume, who we call Old Money Charlie. And then Duncan Robinson shows up there to give him some soul. Basketball ain't been that white since George Mikan was playing.
George Mikan, a funny word. That's comedically a funny phrase every time. Since George Mikan, that's comedy gold.
Yeah, no one's ever imagined George Mikan doing a crossover dribble.
On a field somewhere, T-ball.
Okay, we are not covering game two of the World Series tonight. A lot of interesting storylines. Regardless, it doesn't matter. We cover T-ball around here. Second baseman named Luca is playing T-ball. What happens? Does he throw a temper tantrum?
All right, Luca, let someone else get it.
Sometimes in T-ball. See, this is Aaron Rodgers' bad influence. That's a lot of swag. Yeah, that's a lot of swag. What is this? That is Aaron. Is that Key and Peele? No, that's too many thrusts. Unsportsmanlike conduct. More than three thrusts. Bomani, you intrigued?
He doing all that acting up after all that hard work his parents did to go and get him a left-handed glove. I am intrigued by this just because you don't often see a defensive heist box. You know what a heist box is, Dan? It's somebody who'd be heisting. Like in basketball, a guy got to take all the shots. That's the heist box. You don't very often see somebody be Jack'em Joe in a baseball game demanding to get ground balls that aren't even hit to him.
Poppy, how about you? We keep doing this cheap television device of going to you as if you're here during a pandemic. You're taped. You're in your old man's office. Are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. Listen, when Dan playing the Little League, I have this story to tell. It was bases loaded for all the marbles, you know, the division title. And then all of a sudden, the batter is in one ball, two strikes as he count. And all of a sudden, he swung and hit the ball. That was a pop fly to third base. Who is in third base? My son, Dan, is on third base. And it took years for that ball to come down. And he didn't judge the fly ball. Two outs, bottom of the ninth. Everybody was running at the crack of the bat. And we lost the game by one run. You know, we're leading by two. And the man on first score all the way around the horn. We have to call police escort to get him out of the field because everybody was pulling him and throwing things at him.
You just did that to put those pictures up of me. That's the only reason they did that.
They let you play in the infield?
We are done here. If you want more Bomani Jones in your life, The Right Time with Bomani Jones is a podcast you got to be checking out. I want it stated on the record, no matter Bomani's skeptical look, my father totally lied, totally made up that third base story. This story is true, though. My father yelled at a bunch of kids because all of us were in a huddle and one of us is cursed. And he yelled at us, there is nothing to be gained from cursing, not a thing. True story. My father did that.
He was wrong.